beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media. At Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms, he's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution, true emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic 3-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment. So the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show.
Now, as you all know and I referred to earlier, over 150 years ago, Karl Marx and Frederick Engels wrote the original Communist Manifesto. But imagine if today communists came forward with a new manifesto. And even in this manifesto, we said that anybody that practices anything different than what we agree with should be killed. That women who commit adultery should be killed. That homosexuals should be killed, that women who are accused of being witches should be killed, that children who strike or who are disrespectful to their parents should be killed, that people who get in our way should be plundered, that the women should be raped and the men should be killed, and even the little children should be destroyed. Imagine if we issued a new manifesto in the name of communism and said those things. What would people say about that? Now, none of those things could be in a communist manifesto, but all of those things are in the Bible. Even in the worst slanders of communists and communist leaders, even when the most outrageous attacks are made on people like Mao or Lenin or even Stalin, even then, no one, at least as far as I know, has dared to accuse them of advocating all these things. But again, these things are in the Bible. They're not condemned, they're celebrated and upheld.
We open the show today with Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader who has forged a whole new framework for human emancipation, and a clip from 2003, which is really relevant today, up against all the Bible-thumping bullshit that is all too pervasive, and all the anti-communist lies and slanders, also way too pervasive, both of which we'll get into in this show today. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm very happy to be joined in studio today by Noche Diaz, the national spokesperson for the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. Welcome, Noche.
Thank you, Sansara. It's good to be here with you today. It's good to be here with all of you viewers. And those who are tuning in for the first time, make sure you subscribe to the Revolution Nothing Less show so that every week you're getting what you need from a show about an actual revolution. A real revolution to overthrow the system of capitalism, imperialism, and put an end to all the oppression and exploitation that is built into this system. And a revolution that brings about, as it's said in the name of the RevCom Corps, for the emancipation of all humanity.
All right. Here on this show, we take leadership from and we promote Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader who we open the show with and who you'll hear more about as we go forward. And you'll hear from him directly in this show as well. We're going to start out today by talking about Revolutionary May Day. It's a revolutionary holiday celebrated all over the world for over 100 years. And this year, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity has big plans, and we're calling you into this. We'll talk about that first. Later in the show, we will talk some about God and basketball. We will touch on the Netflix blockbuster, The Three-Body Problem. We'll go and discuss a little bit the eclipse that just happened, the incredible eclipse. You're going to be hearing from Bob Avakian about human nature from his social media dispatches. And with that, we're going to dive right in. So Noche, you want to start us off just announcing what's the plans for May Day and why people should come out?
Well, May Day, May 1st, and the weekend that follows, we're celebrating a revolutionary internationalist holiday. As we have said in the call for May Day, we need and we demand revolution for a whole new way to live and a fundamentally different system. This year, we are also raising the slogan to stop the U.S.-Israeli genocide of Palestinians now and stop capitalism imperialism from stealing our future. Look around the world today. You've seen images and videos of a slow-motion high-tech Holocaust carried out by Israel against the people of Palestine. Children being dug out from the rubble. An entire strip of Gaza bombed, leveled. Millions of people shifted from one part to another and repeatedly bombed everywhere they move. Wiped out. This is an example of the future that this system has in store for humanity. Millions of people all around the world fleeing their homes, moving from here to there because of what this system has wrought, either through wars, interventions, or the destruction of our very environment and the planet we live on, making life unlivable. And then they get to the imperialist countries and are treated like animals at the border. Demonized, hunted. And then in those imperialist countries themselves, like this country, generations of people who have been oppressed, demonized, exploited, used up, and who have no use for, who this system has no use for. Like in this country, the way they've massively incarcerated and murdered black people as well as other people of color, which we saw again in Chicago with Dexter Reed, a young man pulled over by tactical cops. Another word for more heavily armed, even more militaristic murderers. 96 shots in under a minute. Murdering yet another black man in this country.
Open the door now!
How much more do you need to see? As we've said for May Day, one of the reasons you need to be there is, as Bob Avakian has put it, we can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to continue to dominate the world and determine the destiny of humanity. And it is a scientific fact that humanity does not have to live this way. So join us in raising this slogan, this Internationalist Revolutionary May Day, and this demand, which on the back of it says very clearly that in the name of the people, the billions in this country and throughout the world who are treated as less than human, enslaved, exploited, oppressed, terrorized, brutalized, and murdered by police, and slaughtered by the armed forces of this system that we are now forced to live under, the system of capitalism, imperialism. In the name of humanity, the billions in all parts of the world who are denied a decent life and a future worth living in, or any future at all, threatened with literal extinction because of the destruction of the environment by this system and the danger of nuclear war between the U.S. and its rivals in Russia and China. All of them, ruthless imperialist powers. Once again, we can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to continue to dominate the world and determine the destiny of humanity. And it is a scientific fact that humanity does not have to live this way. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system.
So this is the core reason to come out on May 1st with the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity all across this country to deliver this message. We refuse to accept this. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. And here in Los Angeles, to come out as well on May 5th, that Sunday, in one of the neighborhoods of the oppressed, where we're going to be gathering and marching through the neighborhood with people from the neighborhood and people from around other parts of society coming together. There'll be a march, there'll be a picnic, there'll be a ceremony. And this will be a way to for people to stand up and get organized and spread this revolution. Now, a lot of people, they hear about revolution, even if they think it's a good idea, they say, oh, that's never going to happen. The rulers are too powerful and the people are too messed up. And there's reasons, good reasons they say this, but they're wrong. And one thing that's really important to understand, and one thing that makes this May Day and the importance of coming out this May Day all the more important, is that we are living in a rare time. A time when revolution is more possible than it has been in generations. You know, you were talking about all these crimes of the rulers of this imperialist system. But one thing we have to understand, and this is an analysis that Bob Avakian has made, these rulers are more divided than they have been in over 100 years. They are at each other's throats, and this fight is going to intensify as we go through this upcoming elections. It's likely to get way out of bounds. And what people need to understand is when they fight like this, they are no longer united in suppressing and repressing the people. They're at each other's throats. The veil of democracy is being ripped off through the genocide that Genocide Joe is pursuing. People's lives are being jolted through things like this police murder, Dexter Reed, or through this horrendous Dark Ages 1864 abortion ban that just got ruled constitutional to wipe out all abortion in the state of Arizona for women there. There's all kinds of ways people's lives are being disrupted. When these rulers are divided and ripping up normal life, this is a time for the people to break through from below and make a revolution, bring forward the forces to bring them down and bring about a whole different way to live. And if we had thousands organized into this revolution now, we are in a period where millions could be woken up and won to revolution and be led to go for it with a real chance to win. So this May Day is happening in this moment when we have to make a leap. We're not going to organize thousands this May Day, but we have to make a leap in organizing the forces for revolution and putting this revolution on the map for many, many more people to be considering and weighing and becoming part of. So I think this is another reason people need to come out.
And finally, why you need to join us on May Day is because this May Day 2024, we are declaring that we dare to fight and win a future worthy of our children and of all of humanity. To actually win, that daring and that courage has to be grounded in something. And it is grounded in the biggest thing that we can have right now, which is Bob Avakian has done what no one else in this country has ever done. If you go to Bob Avakian Official, you'll see laid out dispatches and in particular a set of dispatches, number 1 through 11, which get into why a revolution is what is actually needed and how that revolution can be made. On this day, May Day, people are going to learn about Bob Avakian, the leadership he's providing. But starting right now, you and everybody need to be getting into this, and we in the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity aim to be going with people through these 1 through 11 dispatches to be grounded in what this revolution is for and how we need to go about it, so that on May Day, when we have the dozens and scores stepping out to raise these demands, people also see a serious and determined, organized, disciplined, and growing force that actually means it and has the basis to mean it. And as people see that, this is a step and a turning point this year for the growing thousands who need to be organized to make a revolution in the time we live in now. And the time that you need to start working for this and getting with this is now. Give the next 3 weeks. Learn about the whole different world we're fighting for. And if that's all you can agree with for now, come on May Day and raise the slogan and demand that we need, and we demand a whole different way to live in a fundamentally different system. But don't turn away and don't stop at just where you're comfortable. Get uncomfortable, because the world is becoming increasingly uncomfortable and unlivable for millions, billions of people, and ultimately humanity. But there is a way to live not comfortable, but a way to live full of fire, hope, inspiration, and the possibility of a whole different future. There is something worth living and fighting, and when necessary, dying for. So be there May Day, but be there now. As you're learning more about this, spread the word about this revolution. Let people know about May Day. Post up the call for the day. Get together with your local RevCom Corps or others who are beginning to get into this revolution to develop the plans for how we're going to let people know about this and involve them in this revolution on May Day and that weekend. And as you learn more about this revolution, as you become convinced of the possibility of a different world, as you become convinced of what it's going to take to get there, be there not just for May Day, but be there for the whole thing.
All right. Thank you, Noche, for helping open the show today and for those words about May Day. Take that to heart and let's keep moving with the show. Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
By lonely border walls, I heard a young girl calling, "Daddy, they have taken you away. Now they run us from our land, chasing with an iron hand. Now amongst the lifeless bodies you lay, low lie the fields of Palestine, where once they watched the small free birds fly. Their love was on the wing, they had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Palestine."
Well, I'm very happy to be joined in studio to introduce our next segment by Lenny Wolf. Lenny is a frequent guest on this show. He's an advocate for the new communism that Bob Avakian has forged. Welcome, Lenny.
Oh, welcome to you.
So what are we going to see?
One of the really great things of the last month for sports fans has been March Madness, the basketball tournaments and the NCAA that bring together all the best college teams, men and women. And this year, the women's tournament in particular captured the attention of the entire country. We were all watching. I was watching game after game after game. And thrilling final game. And then at the end, the coach for South Carolina, which won the game, Dawn Staley, came out and was being interviewed in the post-game interview. Now, one thing I have to say that drives me crazy is after every post-game interview, some athlete or some coach will have to talk about Jesus or God or some stuff like that. Anyway, Dawn Staley not only did that, though, she did something else. Dawn Staley said that there's something wrong with people who don't believe in God. And then later, she took the opportunity in the locker room to continue proselytizing. That means converting people, trying to convert people to religion, using the platform that she has actually as a public school employee to try to win people over to her particular brand of religion. And this is a very damaging thing. It's a very unethical thing. It's an ugly trend in society, in my opinion. It feeds a lot of the ignorance and a lot of the capitulation that is going along with things that is so current and rampant today. And I thought it was important that people called this out. I thought it was especially important that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the basketball great, he was a great center at UCLA back in the 60s. He was one of the all-time greats in the NBA for the Los Angeles Lakers. Called this out and really, I think, set a different standard and was part of people really criticizing this. The RNL show, we didn't like it one bit because we understand there is no God. There are no spirits up in the sky. There's human beings. There's the material world, the universe, and all its wonders, which are sufficient. And there's the meaning that we give life by what we do and how we use our time on Earth. But that's not all. Even if there were a God, which there is not, do you really think that God gives a shit over who wins a basketball game? There's genocides going on right now. The planet is burning up. Pigs are murdering people in the streets of our cities. Immigrants are being treated as worse than animals. And supposedly the supernatural highest being cares about who wins the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship. And this irked us. So we commissioned a famous Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, David Damet, to write a play about this very phenomenon called Easter F***ing Sunday, which we will now present for your enjoyment.
South Carolina could take the lead. Here's Phil Wiley blurring inside for the bucket.
Okay, good. Move. Take the shot. Okay, good. Move. Move now. Adjust. Adjust. Yeah, right. Okay, get her. Get her. Buck, we went over this. Buck, what are you guys doing? You can't turn over. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on, team. Get with this. Get with this. We've been over this. Come on. Come on. Jesus Christ, take the f***ing shot, will ya? Oh, come on.
Dad.
No, get down. Get
that
down!
Dad!
You can't wait for the commercial? Jesus, look, I've told you, I have a lot riding on this game, all right? And it has to be, has to come out right, but it has to be believable. That's why I gotta do all this computer stuff. Just, you know, bear with me, kid, will you?
On Easter, Pa? Easter? Supposed to be my big day, and every f***ing year you're watching these f***ing games.
Every f***ing year? Language, pal, language.
I'm gonna try and tell you is I've been thinking, and I think.
I'm thinking. You think I want people to think? You remember what I had my boys in Rome do to that astronomer dude, Galileo, who said he knew how the universe worked? I had them threaten to burn him at stake, okay?
Well, I do think, all right, and I do remember your boys in Rome, and I'll tell you what, you know what I think? I think it's still messed up what you had them do to me on Good Friday. Me, your only begotten son.
Look, how many times do we have to go over the same thing? Okay, I admit, it got a little out of hand.
But it made your career, kid. It made your career. Look, kid, I'm in deep right now. I laid off a $5 million bet with Satan last week. In the middle of the f***ing thing, I had to send an earthquake to somewhere in South America because somebody did something wrong. I forget what. And meanwhile, my eyes are turned, my attention's gone for a minute, and I lose the whole thing. Meanwhile, Moses, I owe him $1 million, and that guy doubles the interest every other day. So have a little respect, will you, for what I got to do. You don't know the half of it.
Dumping it inside, Cardoso has given the Gamecocks their first lead of the afternoon.
All of a sudden, everybody in the world is looking at that game on TV here. It's the biggest attendance for the women's double NCAA ever. And it's the biggest attendance of any sporting event of the year, except for the Super Bowl. And I got the over-under on Camila Cardoso and Caitlin Clark. I got the point spread between South Carolina and Iowa. I got everything covered on this. And when it comes in, all these other chumps who are lording it over the Lord are going to be down on the bottom where they belong, looking up at me, okay? So, yeah, you had a tough Good Friday, I admit it. But that was years ago. And look, you go around the world, every museum's full of your baby pictures. You look at people at night, who do they get down on their knees to? Your old man? No, they pray to you, buddy. They pray to you.
He is risen.
And even Muhammad. I had Muhammad put in his book, yeah, Jesus is a prophet. That's not bad. That's not bad. You're covered. You're covered. So have a little respect for what I do. I'm not really God. In fact, there isn't a God. I just played one on today's Revolution Nothing Less YouTube show. I do want to say, if you or anybody else you know has a gambling problem, have them get real help and don't have them pray to a non-existent God to end it.
Okay, Lenny. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was something we wanted to do, to go at this a little different way than we sometimes do, even as it's a very serious struggle to wage, and one that is really got to be waged a lot more than it has been. The one thing I do want to make clear is that we unite with religious people whose religious views drive them into taking important stands, courageous stands often against oppression, who really go deeply into some of the causes of things and actually also appreciate some of the achievements of science. And in the new society, nobody is going to be compelled to give up one belief and take up a different belief or pressured. So compelled to take up one belief or give up another belief.
Yeah, that we're going to promote a scientific approach. We, the communists, a scientific approach. There is no God. We're going to fight for that understanding, but people will have the right to believe and worship as their conscience drives them to. And that's an important, essential part of the new society that we're fighting for. At the beginning of the show, I promised we were going to talk about God and basketball, which we did, and that we were going to talk about this Netflix blockbuster, which is in the top 10 most watched shows in 93 countries right now, called The Three-Body Problem. And this is an important show to talk about because we have now been living through almost 50 years of counter-revolutionary ideological assault on communism, on the notion that there's no greater evil than the Soviet Revolution and then the Chinese Revolution, especially what Mao did during this great proletarian cultural revolution. And this has been part of hammering down on people the lie that there is no alternative to the way the world is today. You just have to accept capitalism. And Bob Avakian, at the core, one of the core things that he's done in forging the new communism, a new framework for human emancipation, is go very deeply into what were the great achievements of the first revolutions of the 20th century in the Soviet Union and in China. What were the emancipating changes? And what was the understanding, the scientific breakthroughs that led to that? But also, what were the shortcomings? Where did they go wrong? even grievous errors that were made, and how do we need to and can we do better, because humanity still needs to get free desperately and urgently. And this is what's fed, together with broader changes in the world and engagement in other spheres, fed into Bob Avakian forging a new communism, a whole new framework for human emancipation. So this Netflix three-body problem is part of the ideological assault on communism. It spews lies and slanders, and this is something that Raymond Lada is taking on frontally at a program this weekend at Revolution Books, and he's putting out a challenge on video to students to bring him to his campuses. Please respond. Take him up on this. Let's hear Raymond.
My name is Raymond Lada. I am an advocate for the new communism developed by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. I'm inviting you, I am challenging you to come to Revolution Books this Sunday, April 14th at 3 p.m. in Harlem. I will be giving a talk entitled "The Big Problem with the Netflix Three-Body Problem: Anti-Communist Distortion and Fatalism in a World That Cries Out for the New Communist Revolution." Three-Body Problem is a science fiction series based on a Chinese novel. It viciously misrepresents the Cultural Revolution led by Mao Zedong from 1966 to 1976. It would have you believe that the Cultural Revolution was an orgy of mass persecution and senseless violence that cast Chinese society into utter chaos and darkness. It would have you believe that communist revolution is a false utopia that inevitably leads to and turns into nightmare. Well, this is unadulterated bullshit pushed by the guardians and ideologues of this capitalist imperialist system that is carrying out genocide in Gaza, stripping women of the right to abortion, and destroying the planet. On Sunday, April 14th, at Revolution Books here in Harlem, I will be applying the new communism to get at the truth of the Cultural Revolution, its real and liberatory aims, methods, and achievements, as well as its shortcomings and problems. I will be talking about how we can be making a qualitatively more emancipating revolution in today's world based on the new communism brought forth by Bob Avakian. Why should you care about this event, this program at Revolution Books, even if you haven't watched Three Body Problem? Because this is about the future of humanity and the future of the planet. It's about the real need and possibility to make a truly emancipating revolution in today's world that can put an end to all exploitation and oppression, that can create a society and world in which human beings can truly flourish. Be there this Sunday, April 14th, at Revolution Books in Harlem. And to students in other parts of the country, bring me to your campus. This is an urgent and high-stakes debate.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Thank you.
last week, Bob Avakian has put out two extremely powerful new dispatches on his social media, at Bob Avakian Official, dealing with and taking on head on one of the biggest and most common objections people have to making revolution. Very tied in with what we've been talking about. People say you can't change human nature. Human nature is inherently flawed and fallen. Humans have a human nature to believe in God. Humans have a human nature to want to dominate and claw over each other. This is not true, and Bob Avakian goes so deeply into this. It's number 21 and 22 of his dispatches. We really urge you to go listen to them right after the show. Dig deeply into them. On April 15th at RevCom.us, we're going to be publishing the transcript of them. Print them off. Read them. Spread them. Dig into this. And right now, we want to share an excerpt of it with you right now.
Bob Avakian, Revolution, number 21. There is no such thing as human nature. One big reason why so many people believe that a revolution and a fundamentally different and much better world is not possible is because of the notion that there is a human nature which cannot really be changed. But the fact is that there is no such thing as unchanging human nature. People can and do change all the time, especially with changing circumstances. Things like racism and misogyny, hatred of women, are not built-in characteristics of white people and men. And the attitude of looking out for yourself and to hell with everybody else is not hardwired into human beings. All these things are products of the system that people are forced to live under. The oppressive economic, political, and social relations of the system, and the ideas and culture that reflect and reinforce those relations. Let's get deeper into this. Over a number of centuries, beginning more than 500 years ago, various European powers carried out conquest and colonization of peoples in Africa, Asia, and the Americas. And a big part of this was the enslavement and trafficking of millions of human beings. As I pointed out in an article explaining what exploitation is and how to put an end to it, it is a fact that some of the earlier societies in the Americas, such as the Inca Empire in South America and the Aztecs in Mexico, were themselves based on exploitation of masses of people by the ruling classes in those societies. And it is true that there was slavery within Africa itself for some time before the invasion of that continent by European exploiters. But all this took on much greater and more horrific dimensions, beginning several centuries ago, with the conquest and colonization of these continents, the development of the international slave trade, and the relentless machinery of capitalist exploitation, through which generation after generation of people, in the millions and millions, have been ruthlessly used up and killed off, quickly or more slowly, in the manic capitalist quest and merciless competition among capitalists for profit and more profit. And what went along with all this, the thinking that justified it, was the notion that certain groups or races of people are superior and others inferior, and therefore it was right and good for the supposedly superior people to enslave and exploit those who were supposedly inferior. But oppressive divisions among people is not just some European thing. And the poisonous idea that certain people are superior and others are inferior is not a uniquely European notion. In general, throughout human history, in any part of the world where people have been divided into masters and slaves, upper and lower classes, this has been accompanied by the idea that those in the superior position are somehow, by their very nature, superior as human beings, and those in the lower position are inferior human beings. This has been true in ancient as well as more modern empires and countries in Asia, Africa, and the Americas, as well as Europe. Once more, it is the dominant relations of the system that fundamentally determine the ideas and the culture that dominate in that system. As long as you have a system built on exploitation and oppression, you will have the corresponding culture promoting the idea that some people are, by nature, superior to others. But let's get even deeper into this, into the question of whether, regardless of what system people live under, there is a certain basic human nature that runs through every system. In terms of what might be considered the nature of human beings, there are certain common characteristics of people everywhere. As a result of natural evolution, along with other biological features that human beings have in common, we have a consciousness and the capacity for abstract thought in a way that is not true for other beings. We can think about what it would mean to be in someone else's shoes, to see things and feel as they do. We can reflect on what has happened in the past, and we can project our thoughts into the future. We can create in our imaginations all kinds of beings and other things that do not exist in the real world. We can envision and then set out to build all kinds of physical structures. We use language to create all kinds of poetry and other literature, as well as music with many different kinds of lyrics, and so on. The most important characteristics of human beings is the ability to consciously adapt to change, especially with changing circumstances. And people have changed throughout history.
All right, Noche, we had some fun in today's episode, or as you may soon be known, little Jeezy. Don't wince. but I know you had actually many millions had a different kind of fun earlier this week you wanted to say a few words about.
Yeah, I just didn't want to end the show this week before mentioning, you know, that speaking about revolutions, everybody had another reason to look up last Monday with the solar eclipse 2024. I myself here in Los Angeles, we got about a 50% coverage. I thought it was a little more, but whatever. But the experience of not only looking at the eclipse, but also walking around and seeing other people so excited and curious to look up was quite a special experience. I've seen eclipse before, and every time it's amazing, and I always wish that we could share that joy and that passion of learning about the world, how it moves, with everybody. And it made me think about a couple things, but I just wanted to share, since it's, you know, May Day coming up, that we need, we demand a whole new way to live in a fundamentally different system. One of the points it lays out from the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America is that we're gonna have an education to actually educate and empower the masses of people. The purpose of this education system in this new socialist society will be to enable people to pursue the truth wherever it leads, with a spirit of critical thinking and scientific curiosity, and in this way to continually learn about the world and be better able to contribute to changing it in accordance with the fundamental interests of humanity. So this was something I was thinking about as I went throughout handing out these flyers that we had on the day, which also had another quote from Bob Avakian that I'm going to read from. But, you know, I just had the experience of a freight truck driver pulling over and blocking traffic so that me and him could stand together and share the glasses and look up together. People on the trains, students from a university and regular people from the neighborhood sharing glasses and looking up together. A youngster who under normal circumstances if I stepped to him in the way I did, would probably start off some but we got, you know, we sat next to each other and shared the glasses and looked up together, and it made me, you know, these are things that cross my mind and are part of the beauty, awe, wonder that make you think about the world we could have. And so to end, I'll read this quote from Bob Avakian, which we were handing out on this flyer on the day. On the occasion of solar eclipse 2024, from Bob Avakian, revolutionary leader who has brought forward a new communism. People look at what religion calls the heavens. They look at the stars, the galaxies. They can see a small part of the vastness of the universe, and they can imagine the greater vastness of the universe. Or they can look on a small scale, look with a microscope and see a small microbe or whatever, and be amazed at what goes on internally within that. They can ponder the relation between what you can see with a microscope and what you can see with a telescope. This is an essential quality of human beings. Human beings will always strive for this, and far from trying to suppress this or failing to recognize it, we can and should and will give much fuller expression to it. Communism will not put an end to nor somehow involve the suppression of awe and wonder, the imagination, and the need to be amazed. On the contrary, it will give much greater and increasing scope to this. It will give flight on a much grander scale to the imagination in dialectical relation with, and in an overall sense as part of, a systematic and comprehensive scientific outlook and method for comprehending and transforming reality.
I think that's a beautiful way to end today's episode. It's a beautiful and inspiring quote about what it means to be human and what we need to unleash for all of humanity. And it's a big part of the revolution we're fighting for and fighting to make. We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
And many people say, we need religion to be able to endure, to survive, to keep from going crazy, to continue to struggle on, even to have some moments of joy and glimmers of hope in a world full of so much cruelty and brutality, heartbreak and heartlessness. But what if the world doesn't have to be this way? What if we could live in a world where never again would a parent have to fear for the life of their child just because of the color of their skin? What if we lived in a world where never again would that soul-wrenching experience that never leaves of having to bury your own child whose life was stolen by a brutal thug with a gun and the backing of the powers that be? What if being black no longer meant living in a white supremacist society that continually assaults you in your very being and very sense of worth, constantly subjects you to terror, openly or in more subtle ways, and forces you to face the constant danger that you or your children will have your life snuffed out at any moment for doing nothing but being? What if your humanity really mattered and were considered precious? What if this were true of all people of color and of immigrants? What in fact, if all people were just people of different colors? And there were no distinctions and discrimination and persecution and brutality based on what nationality or race you were? What if there were no such thing as immigrants? What if we all lived in a world community of human beings without borders and tanks and guns and planes to enforce them? Women could walk down the street and look every man they encounter straight in the eye and fear nothing and not be made to feel. And not be made to feel that you're on display and to be evaluated by how you sexually titillate them. What if no more women were ever again battered, raped, assaulted, denied the right to control their own body? What if people who were different in their sexual orientation or just in the way they went through life, instead of being discriminated against and bullied, were valued for their difference? If that were seen as part of the great diversity of humanity? What if there were no more one part of society exploiting the others, and those exploited had no choice but to enrich them in order to be able to live themselves, working their whole life away under conditions of this ruthless exploitation? What if we didn't have to live in a lopsided world where a small number of countries have accumulated tremendous wealth by exploiting the great majority, and the conditions of the great majority are desperate? Look at the world. Look at the phenomenon of Ebola. There's been a lot of concern about Ebola, rightly so, but way too much hysterical fear about whether a few people here might get Ebola, and not nearly enough concern about what is happening to the people in Africa. What if there were no more wars for domination and plunder? What if there were whole different relations among people, valuing each other's humanity? What if there were different relations to the environment, protecting it and providing for future generations instead of despoiling and ruining it? What if we could have a whole different outlook on life and on the future instead of one of dread and one of desperately striving just to make it? Now, to paraphrase John Lennon's song, Imagine, you may say I'm a dreamer, but this is not just a dream. It is something for which there is a definite basis in reality, and it is up to us, together with people throughout the world, to make it a reality.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at The Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out The RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens.
Guided. I'm guided by this birthmark on my skin. I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. You're worried that I just might win. You know the way to stop me, but you don't have the discipline. How many nights I prayed for this, to let my work begin. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I don't like your fashion business, mister. And I don't like these drugs that keep you thin. I don't like what happened to my sister. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Plywood violin. I practiced every night. Now I'm ready.